One of my professors pulled me aside one day and like brought me to her office, my dance professor, and she was just like, all the professors, like, we all had a meeting about you and we're scared for you and we need something to change. Like, we can't have you going down this track.
Welcome to Behind the Bite, where we delve deep into the real life struggles and triumphs surrounding food, body, and weight. I'm Dr. Christina Castagnini, a psychologist and certified eating disorder specialist, bringing you a unique blend of personal experience as a recovered individual with over 25 years of professional expertise. In each episode, we'll share the courageous journeys of individuals who have faced these challenges firsthand, alongside insights from dedicated professionals in the field. Whether you're seeking healing, inspiration, or simply a deeper understanding, this podcast is here to empower you on your own path to a better life. Join us as we explore stories of resilience, discuss the latest insights, and strive to foster a community of support and growth. Together, we can break down barriers, challenge stigma, and pave the way towards healing and living authentically.
Well, hello, everybody. So in today's episode, I am talking with Allie, whose story is such a powerful one. She grew up being known as, quote unquote, a dancer, went on to pursue her BFA in dance, and eventually moved to New York City, where she became a Radio City Rockette, which, as you'll hear, was a deeply full circle moment after her own eating disorder recovery journey. Now, she's an eating disorder recovery coach and is pursuing her master's in nutrition to become a registered dietitian. We talk about how body image struggles can quietly build over time, especially in environments where appearance is so heavily emphasized, how what starts off looking, quote unquote, healthy, can turn into something much more consuming, which I know I've talked about on the show before, but I always think it's important to hear other people's journeys because, as I've said before, everybody's journey is so different. And for Allie, it was really hard to even realize she was struggling with diet culture when, again, as we've heard before with so many other people's stories, it's constantly validating the very behaviors that are hurting you. And with Allie, we're going to get into the reality of her recovery and what helped her begin her way back to herself and how she ultimately turned pain into purpose. So this conversation, it's honest, nuanced, and it's really giving a message of hope. And for anybody who's out there listening, whether you struggled yourself, love someone who has, or you're just really exhausted by all the pressure to look a certain way or feel like you have to look a certain way to be quote unquote enough, I really think there's going to be something in this episode that really lands for you. So all that being said, I'm going to go get Allie. All right. Well, Allie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Me too. I'd love for the audience to hear more about you. Obviously, I can do some kind of intro, but I'd love to hear from you a little bit more, if you wouldn't mind sharing.
Yeah, of course. So I'm currently an eating disorder recovery coach. I'm also in graduate school right now to become a registered dietitian down the line. But before this, I was a professional dancer. I danced with the Radio City Rockettes. That was a very full circle dream come true moment, especially after going through an eating disorder myself. That was when I was in college undergrad as a dance major, which really going back to all of that, such a full circle kind of like transition into where I'm at now, which is really cool seeing everything merge together. So that's a little bit about me and my story.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously that sounds like a really big story. So if you don't mind, I ask a few questions, So were you a dancer from a really young age, or how did you get into dance?
Yeah, totally. I would say my whole life I was kind of known as the dancer. I started dance when I was 4. And then ever since then, I just loved it so much. I didn't want to do anything else. So I grew up as a competitive dancer. And then once it was time to make like college decision, I really just realized I wasn't really going to be happy doing anything else. So majored in dance in college and went from there.
So was along the way, did you have like a normal relationship with your body? Like, what was that like? Because I know there's, some people that say like when you're in dance or certain sports, there's obviously a lot of emphasis on like how you look or how your body looks or having a quote unquote dancer's body. And I'm just wondering for you, like, did you have any of that experience or was that not even on your radar?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really interesting looking back because now after everything, I have a much different perspective and I can pick up on these little things. I would say growing up, I definitely just like felt awkward in my body. It didn't feel super negative, but just awkward, especially as a dancer trying to still like improve in dance and finding like that connection with my body as I was a growing teenager. And I remember like really specifically being so focused and so honed in on this goal to look a certain way when I was like 14, 15. It was a big thing to wear like two-piece costumes. And so that was definitely a thing, but it was never tied to food in my mind. It was just like, okay, let me work really hard this summer, kind of like an exercise thing, but it didn't feel like it was taking over my life until I got to college. And I think that shift was that it was, I was, you know, a dance major and looking to make it my career. And so it felt like I had a lot more on the line and I was around new people, comparison coming through. And so that's kind of when it all really picked up and got a little more disordered and negative for sure.
So like growing up, like right around, you know, when you're becoming a teenager, obviously your body's changing. And so that's like a hard time for a lot of people, regardless of if they're in dance. Were there comments made about your body or like people, were they telling you your body needed to change or was that all on you?
It was mostly on me. I remember getting actually like comments of you're so tall and so skinny, like kind of compliments in a way, which then of course, as I know now, that can kind of do like the reverse to our mind where it was like, okay, I need to stay this way because I'm getting these compliments as, you know, a teenager. And so I think that did have an impact then, like as I kept growing. But I would say everything else, it was really from me and my own like comparison and viewing other people and, you know, putting deeper meaning to things of being like, I thought looking a certain way would mean that I was a better dancer or that other people would think I was a better dancer. So kind of like connecting all of these just different thoughts that I had going on in my mind and like drawing conclusions from that.
I wonder, do you know where those thoughts came from? Like thinking, oh, if I'm in a certain body, I'll be a better dancer or?
Honestly, I think it was from like just noticing peers, especially at dance competitions, the people who were winning and what they were looking like. And then going to college and now being around all of these new girls that I had never met before and we were all dance majors together and seeing their bodies and noticing how great that they were too. It's just like that direct link of they looked a certain way and I also thought that they were good and I wanted to be a better dancer. So then I thought that was the answer.
So, I mean, that's interesting though. Before college, you didn't really connect food mm-hmm. with your body or what it looked like. So mm-hmm. what do you think happened there where all of a sudden food became like this factor?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was that like transition to college where like your life does change a lot, especially just as a human. And now I was like, you know, eating on campus and like really eating for myself, like before my mom was like packing my lunches, making me dinner, all of the things. So I think that was a big shift. And then honestly, wanting to lose weight and going to Google and looking up all of this nutrition, quote unquote nutrition, and just getting fed diet culture and learning all of those things that way. That was a big part of my journey and the start of it all.
So the internet, right?
Yeah.
Were you confused? I'm curious if like you got confusing messages about what to do, because I know like I've done that before just out of curiosity and mm-hmm. oh my gosh, this diet says to do this and then the next one says to do the exact opposite and like it would be like mind blowing to be like, what do you do?
Yeah, no, of course. I think I was a little more gullible because I didn't know any different where it was just like, oh, eat less carbs, eat less fat. And I just ran with it. And I think, honestly, at first I was like, okay, great. I have like a very direct goal that I can work towards. And it starts out like feeling so innocent, and then it just like snowballs. Like at first it didn't feel negative at first. It just felt like, oh, cool, this is something I'm going to work towards. And I am very goal driven and I love having a goal and like working towards myself. I thought what I was doing was healthy, but then like, as you just keep going, then it starts building into rules. And whenever you break the rules, you feel terrible. And then that was when I started noticing like, wait a second, what's happening here? This doesn't actually feel good.
Did you notice that it didn't feel good in your body, or what else? I mean, what did you notice didn't feel good?
Yeah, for sure. I think in my body, I absolutely like was losing energy, especially as a dance major. And I could feel it in my dancing, definitely. But also just mentally and with my social life too, never wanting to like, I don't know, never having the energy to go and like hang out with my friends. I could notice like my personality dwindling, but especially just being stressed to like go do anything fun, like to go get the ice cream, to go have dinner with friends. That stress, and then also just constantly thinking about food too. That was probably one of the first things I started noticing.
So was part of it too, like not having the energy to go and the motivation, but also like the food rules keeping you from going to certain things with friends?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was the fear of what was going to come up in my mind if I did go and like have this different dinner that I didn't plan for. And also eating around people started getting really hard. And then I would say another part of that was I started creating a lot of structure with exercise too, outside of dance as well. So then that also meant like, oh, if I'm going to go hang out with my friends, that means I can't do this workout that I was planning. So that was absolutely something that was tied in there too.
Did anybody notice?
Yeah. So that was the biggest eye opener in my story is one of my professors pulled me aside one day and like brought me to her office, my dance professor. And she was just like, all the professors, like we all had a meeting about you and we're scared for you and we need something to change. Like we can't have you going down this track, which is honestly, I'm so grateful for that, especially in the dance world. It is not a very common thing that like directors, choreographers would ever say something about that. It's a very taboo topic. And sometimes it's applauded, right? And so I am so grateful for them intervening and being like, we have noticed this. They pulled me out of performances for that semester, as well as like extra dance classes. And they were like, we will reconsider like next semester, but we need to basically, they were like, we need to see you gain weight. And we want you looking more healthy, but also having more energy. Like we've noticed in class that has dipped and everything. So that was the start of that whole now next chapter of my journey. Yeah.
So you said something interesting. You said sometimes it's applauded. What did you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think in the dance world, just this smaller body is applauded. It's awarded. And that's kind of what I was like growing up seeing too. Even if it wasn't connected at all, but you see like the people winning at dance competitions, they all have a certain look, or people booking jobs, whether that's, you know, especially in the ballet world, but on Broadway, all of that you see this certain look. I think it is shifting today. I do think the industry, certain parts of it are shifting to more body shapes and sizes on stage, but that's what you do grow up seeing for sure.
So, I mean, I'm so glad to hear that they intervened and they were concerned. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, did you feel like it was a punishment to be taken off of any performances?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially just going back to the beginning of it all, was I was doing all of that to be a better dancer. And I don't know how true this was, but at first I felt like I was getting better and I did feel like a good dancer. I think that was also because I was training all day, every day. And that was, you know, it wasn't just because I was following all of these rules, but in my mind, I was like, I'm being punished for being the hardest worker in the room. That was a hard pill to swallow for sure.
So, I mean, just having gone through my own journey, I'm trying to imagine in that moment for you, like hearing this and then like not being able to break the rules that you already created for yourself or to stop all the exercise or to shift, even though you heard these things. And like the eating disorder voice is very loud, right? And there's a lot of fear in stopping all these behaviors. So I'm wondering, like, what did you do at that point?
Yeah, I remember at first I was just devastated. I was also terrified because now I was being taken out of our performances and classes. So everyone knew, like the whole dance department, and I'm sure people knew and could tell that something was wrong. But now I'm like, there's no hiding this. So that was just ripping the Band-Aid off. And I knew that I needed to change something, but I had no idea how, and that's also terrifying. But I will admit, at first, I didn't really do anything about it. I don't know if I was just giving myself time to like take it all in, but they took me out of like the extra dance classes, the performances, and instead of doing that, I was just going to the gym because I didn't know what else to do with myself. And I think it took like a few weeks, maybe like a month, to be like, okay, something obviously needs to change if I want to dance again. That was my biggest motivator, especially at the beginning.
Because I can imagine, like, I mean, trying to do that yourself and make these changes is like so hard. So, I mean, you were taken out of the classes, but then like what started to shift for you where you like really started to into recovery, if you will, right? Like I don't even know if in your mind you thought, oh, I have an eating disorder or not, or when did that even come to mind?
Right. Yeah. No, that's the other thing too, because like before all of this, you know, I don't know if we maybe learned about it like for one day in like a health class in high school, but like I had no idea things about eating disorder and especially not recovery. And like, when do you get to the point where it's like, oh yeah, I have an eating disorder? It's just like, would have never crossed my mind at that point. With that eye opener, I was like, okay, yeah, this it is. And with that, my professors were like, okay, here's the contact of the nutritionist on campus and the therapist on campus. So I did see them. I think I went like two or three times, but it wasn't eating disorder specialized. And it felt like, I think I was also in a place where I wasn't open to get help. So it's also on me a little bit, but it was really frustrating. It felt like I wasn't really understood, which especially at the beginning of your journey, that is so hard to not feel understood and to not even be able to explain it yourself, really, because you've never opened yourself up to being able to do that. And so with that, then I kind of like took it upon myself again. I was like, something needs to change if I want to dance again. I'm so grateful that I had that motivator and that I felt so strongly about that passion. And I really started turning to books, to just any literally like podcasts I could find online, listening to people talking about their story, because I think that's what helped link together what was happening in my mind, because I really had no idea. I didn't have this information on eating disorder. So hearing people say their stories, I was then like, oh yeah, that feels so similar. And then that helped me kind of dive in a little bit deeper.
Because I know a lot of times it's just, oh, to your point, what you said before, I'm just being quote unquote healthy, right? I'm trying to work hard. And then it doesn't dawn on anybody like, oh wait, this is actually hurting me. And it's an illness. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's like to hear, like, did somebody come out and say like you have an eating disorder, or was that something you realized for yourself?
Definitely realized for myself. And I think the thing was, is like I was losing a lot of weight, and that's like mostly what my professors pointed out, of just like, you've lost a lot of weight, like you don't look healthy. And they, I don't think they wanted to say like, are you eating? But they kind of, you know, got to that point eventually of just like the overexercising and the under eating. But I knew. So it started out in like noticing the losing weight. And then I knew I needed to gain weight. But of course, in those efforts, that's when all of the mental turmoil started happening. I was like, okay, this isn't just about my weight. It's about all of the rules and all of the things that I've been doing the past few months and not being able to change it without feeling so stressed and having all of these voices go on in my mind.
So at what point, I mean, that's amazing for you to let you'd researched all this and did all that, right? Like, so mm-hmm. was there a point where you went back in to get help or?
No, yeah, I just kept going all on my own. Yeah. Okay. And I would say it was messy and it took a long time. At first, so I would say it was like about a year later, I went back into the performances. I was still like doing all of my credits I needed to do as a dance major and everything, but went back into performances my junior year. So I got to finish out junior and senior year feeling better. It was still definitely not like, you know, I was kind of stuck in like that middle place, but much better than I was before. And then honestly, like pandemic happened. I went back and I was living with my family, and that helped me so much in my recovery, being able to like change my environment. I think like my eating disorder really just like thrived in my routine and environment of college. And so being like literally taken out of that environment and with my family where honestly, like they could just like feed me all the meals. They were making all the meals. That helped me so, so much. So now looking back, and again, like just reflecting all of that, I saw so much change then after all of the college stuff. Yeah.
Were your parents aware that you were going through all this?
Yeah. So my mom was extremely aware. She was my person that I kind of went to about everything right from the beginning of just like, okay. I mean, very, very beginning of like, okay, I want to like really work on this. I want to lose some weight, all of that. And even like the part of just like, okay, well, this is starting to feel, you know, a little hard to now change. I would tell her everything. And so she was my biggest rock and help in all of that. I would say it was then interesting with my dad being aware and like my sister in that I never really like told them, but they knew, you know, from just family and everyone being concerned, and they knew what was going on. But that was definitely, it was really hard to talk about and not something I was super open about. But they were able to show support in those ways of, you know, just cooking, giving me food, and being there to talk about other things too. I think it was really helpful to have like a space in my mom where I could just say everything on my mind, and then to also have those places where it was like, we can just talk about everything except that.
So interesting, like during the pandemic, obviously away from the like dance and college and all of that. So mm-hmm. like, did you ever reflect back and think like, oh my gosh, is me being in the dance and performing like world healthy for me? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I, again, now like having just like a different perspective and being able to look back on the past, I can tell that a lot of it came from, you know, this need to control and being a dance major and being so unclear about what my future was going to look like with that, what my career was going to look like. Of course, that's a big part of our life, but especially when that's like intertwined with success. And I, as a dancer my whole life, it was a big part of my identity and worth and just so many things underlying that. And so I think my eating disorder really became a way for me to feel in control, especially going into this industry where a lot is out of your control and it's up to other people. And so I do think that shift, like with the pandemic happening and, you know, dance was kind of nothing was happening. You know, New York City was my dream to move to. I wasn't going there, you know? So, but that gave me an opportunity to really hone in on where I wanted to go with dance in a way where I could just really practice what I wanted to practice and those dreams that I had on my heart instead of, you know, in college, just kind of going with the flow and doing the courses that I needed to check off. And so I feel like that kind of gave me that sense of control that I was looking for, but then also gave me the time and space to find other sources of control and just other parts of myself too outside of dance.
So at that point, were you done with college once the pandemic
Yes. Yeah. I graduated in 2020. So I did a couple months of like virtual class and then I was done. Okay.
So at that point, like, what were you thinking in terms of your career, or like, were you just like, I don't know, because this pandemic is like,
yeah,
as isolated, or?
Yeah, no, for sure. It was definitely a crazy time to graduate. I was just genuinely like, I'm just waiting it out. I honestly like wanted to do cruise ships right after college and like go dance on a cruise ship. But then of course that wasn't happening. So I really, in my head, I think I was just telling myself, I'm waiting this out until New York City opens back up. And especially the dance world in New York City, like studios weren't even open. No one was doing classes. So once that opened up, I told myself I was going to move there. So I was kind of just waiting it out. But I really, that's when I honed in on the whole Rockette dream. And so I literally every day I would pull up YouTube and start watching videos of the Rockettes, teaching myself like choreography and literally just working on that. And I think that kept me sane during all of that time, just knowing I was working towards that and having that structure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that always a dream, or did that hit you later in life?
Yeah, no, that's always an interesting question when people ask, because I do think it was a dream that many people put on me as I was growing up, because I was tall. And that's always like someone, you know, everyone's like, oh my gosh, like, you're going to be a Rockette. And so I started doing their summer intensives when I was 14. They don't do the summer intensive anymore, but at that time, that was the age you had to be to start. And so I would do that every summer. And I auditioned a few times during college. But then once the eating disorder started, I, you know, wasn't not doing that. And honestly, that's where that belief came in, where I was telling myself, like, I don't think I'm good enough for that. And of course, like, the eating disorder felt like it just put a pause on my life, but also all of those dreams. And eventually, like, once I started getting better and healing, I started to really use that dream as my motivation, just dance as a whole, but especially making that dream come true, which, again, just like really cool that I got to make that full circle moment happen. But yeah, so it was always a dream there. I think different years, I kind of let go of the dream a little bit, and then really honed in on it.
Okay. So yeah. Do you mind talking about that a little bit? Because it's like, that's unusual to like become a Rockette, right? Like,
totally. Yeah. No, of course. It was definitely the just most, I don't know, very like transformational in a way. And it's really cool seeing everything I learned and healing my relationship with food and body and exercise, all of those things, how it related so much to myself as a dancer, and also just the process of becoming a Rockette. It's a really grueling process. I auditioned 5 times before I got the job, and the audition it's a 3-day long process. And then I was invited to their conservatory, which is a week long audition basically. And then after that, there's another audition that's 2 days long. And then after that, they call you if you book the job. So it's a lot. It's a lot. And even just going back to the beginning of it all with the comparison that comes up in the dance world, like, of course, that's a big thing when 1,000 dancers are auditioning for this job and they hire, like, I think my year there was 18 of us, which was a lot, but out of 1,000, it's really, you know, less than a 1% chance of booking the job. And so I really had to do a lot of mindset work, especially in that year when I did move to New York City and I was just really working on my training and preparing for that audition. It was, yes, physical, but extremely mental, in how I was going to be confident enough to show up in that room.
Okay. Wow. That's a very grueling audition. My goodness.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Were you like, how were you handling that? Cause that's a very long audition and a lot of people.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the biggest thing was the year leading up to it. Every single day I was imagining myself as like Rockette Alley. Like, what would she do? How is she showing up in a room? How is she dancing? What is she feeling like? What is she thinking? And truly preparing myself for the job of a Rockette. and not just preparing for the audition. So I think that mentality really helped me. And then honestly, like envisioning myself dancing at the audition over and over again so I could create that, you know, just calm and cool, collected. And then going into the audition, this was a big thing for me in dancing, of just nothing to prove, everything to show, and simply just dancing and kind of giving off that energy of that passion that I've always had for it.
It's amazing. So you find out, and like, how was that for you?
Oh my gosh. It was a best day of my life. I will never forget it. It was definitely nerve-wracking. They make the call, and you only get a call if you get the job, right? So you start hearing that people are getting calls, all of my friends. And I was in the middle of the streets in New York, and I had also imagined that moment so many times over and over again, and especially during my recovery and when things felt so hard and it felt so far away. That's always a moment that I would come back to and be like, okay, like we're going to feel that someday. So then that to be like actual real life, it was just so surreal. I'll never forget the feeling. But then to also be able to, you know, call my mom, who had been there, you know, with me along every step of the journey, it's so special. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So how long were you a Rockette?
So I did 2 seasons with the Rockettes, 3 years. First season is so hard because you have to learn this whole show. You're with, you know, 80 other women who have done the show a million times, and you do more than 100 shows a season. So like 17 shows a week. It's extremely, extremely physical, which a lot of people ask me, like, what's, you know, how did it help or hurt body image, food, all the things? How was that after going through an eating disorder? And honestly, the biggest thing is like it gave me so much appreciation, even more than I already had for my body, because it is truly helping you so much throughout that season that is so physically demanding, but also mentally demanding too. You're learning so much information and also like emotional too. You're, you know, missing out on a lot of holidays. It goes, you know, through Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. And so that's really hard too. And it's just totally a change of life. So being able to just appreciate my body for getting me through that was also a really, really cool takeaway. Yeah.
Okay. So is there a time limit of how long you can do it for, or was that like your choice?
Yeah, so there's no time limit. There are some women who do it for 20 plus years, which is so incredible, you know, if your body allows. So basically my story, what ended up happening was after my first season, that is when I went and got my certification as an eating disorder recovery coach, especially after feeling that full circle moment. I was like, I need to help people feel this same like dream come true after going through such low lows. And so I went through my certification program throughout my second season. And then I was just like, I really want to do this and do this business. And so kind of got to that point where I was like, okay, I made that dream happen. And now I need to be open to allowing these other dreams in my life. It was really the first time that I've been just as passionate about something as I always was for dance. And so that took a lot of, you know, soul searching and making that decision to pursue that path. But I'm so grateful and so happy that it all led me to where I am now.
That's amazing. Amazing. So where are you now with things? I know you got your certification. So how did you do the transition from like the dance world to that?
Yeah, totally. So with the certification, I was kind of, so before that, I became a certified health coach. That was kind of something I did in the pandemic. I was kind of a part of my recovery journey. I just wanted to learn more. And then I learned about coaching too. So that was kind of a small thing I was doing on the side with dance, and it's having, you know, clients throughout the week, which was really, really nice that I could have that other thing besides dance to go to during the week and that other part of me. So just building on that and getting more specific in the eating disorder world. So now I am full-time with that and then also full-time with school too, in graduate school. So that's where I'm at with all of that.
Okay. And what are you studying in grad school?
So I'm getting my master's in nutrition to be a dietitian. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. What a journey. My goodness. Yeah.
Truly. Yes.
Okay. I'm very grateful you're opening up and sharing this. And to your point, you know, like you listened to podcasts and it helped you. So
yeah,
hopefully somebody out there, maybe they can relate to something or helps people that are listening feel like maybe they too can get to the point where you're at where, mm-hmm. you know, there's a healing there.
Yeah.
Because it's rough. Like you said, it got messy there for a while. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, exactly. And just being, you know, on the other side of it, being able to understand and get it and to know the questions to ask to help others, but to also be that example too of, you know, if I can be where I am now, so can you. And that is like the biggest message that I want people to hear.
Absolutely. And that is exactly like what I hope people come away with, is that hope of like, even as hard as it feels or as low as you feel or as like unmotivated or discouraged, like absolutely. Yes. It's not a linear path ever. I mean,
yeah,
so many ups and downs, but yes, you can get to the other side. And I know it's probably like, oh yeah, you too, is easier said than done because you're there. But oh my goodness, right? Like the path was not like fun.
Of course. Yeah, no, exactly. And I one time had a mentor too. She was in the dance world and had gone through an eating disorder. And we got coffee one time and I will always remember the one thing she said is the people who face those low lows are the people who will also face the high highs. Mm-hmm. And I held on to that the whole time because it is, it's really hard to allow yourself to feel those negative things to be able to heal it, but you have to feel those negatives to get to the place where you can feel the really, really positives in life.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, Ali, thank you so much for being here. How can people find you online and work with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on Instagram and TikTok. It's your_spoonful. Everything is there for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening today. Behind the Bite podcast is created by me, Dr. Christina Castanini, as part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network, and produced by The Tweaky Tales. I love hearing from my listeners. So if you like the show, please like, rate, and subscribe to it on whatever platform you're on. And for anyone who wants to understand their relationship with food better, or who might be wondering if they have an eating disorder, I have a free 9-week e-course at my website. Just go to www.behindthebitepodcast.com to get your free e-course today. Please note, this podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither host, the publisher, or the guests are rendering legal, clinical, or other professional information. If you want or need a professional, you should find one to work with who can address your individual needs and situation.